I know a bank where the wild thyme grows, where ox lips and the hooded violet grows. But forget all that, where do I find the flower that turns people gay? I'm Ro, and today on the Gay Anarchist Yoga and Erotic Cooking Association podcast, we're taking a look at one of my favorite Shakespeare adaptations. Were the World Mine is a Midsummer Night's musical. Yes, it's a musical that seeks to answer one question. Are all boys' schools really that gay? The answer might surprise you. It's yes. The answer is yes. Joining me this week are two Shakespeare scholars with extremely hot takes. First up, she's the real fairy queen. It's Amelia.
Hello there. My name is Amelia, and I've always had trouble believing that Shakespeare's vast and beautiful, glorious works could have been written truly by one man who never went to school and finished primary school or learned to read and write at school. I've always had this theory that Shakespeare was in fact a pseudonym for three cast members from the musical Cats in a Trench Coat. yes, and I can be found at the Nefarious Navigator if you would like to discuss this further.
That would be Taylor Swift, Jason Derulo, and James Corden in a puppy suit.
Remind me to auto-tune Jason Derulo when you say it later.
Jason Derulo! Next, he knows exactly what it's like to fall hopelessly in love with a jackass. It's NATO!
Hi there, I'm NATO Hitch, here to give you the straight truth that not only was Roland Emmerich right about the Stonewall Riots being started by a white kid from Kentucky or something, but he was also correct that Fakespeare was a fraud and proves it in an 8-minute video on YouTube that doubles as a promotion for his critically meh film, Anonymous.
Critically meh. I love that.
And once again, I'm Ro, and you can catch me on Twitch at twitch.tv/susqueenro. Now that we've gotten introductions out of the way, let's get this party started. Onward to the field, gentles!
Fire!
More teenage boys!
Were the World Mine is a story about Timothy, a beleaguered queer boy that attends an all-boys school. Incidentally, nobody else attends this school except the rugby team. He is hopelessly in love with Jonathan, the only nice jock. Somehow, their English teacher, Miss Tebbit, who has sprung fully formed from a mushroom circle, convinces the entire school, again, Timothy and the rugby team, to audition for A Midsummer Night's Dream, their senior play.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Is the teacher the definition of a manic pixie dream girl?
I mean,
manic pixie dream woman, maybe?
Miss Tebbit, the English teacher, by the way, played by Wendy Roby, who also was in Twin Peaks. So just so you know what kind of mood we're setting here.
Why isn't there a porn parody called Twink Peaks?
I don't know, and now I absolutely need it. So anyway, everybody's auditioning for A Midsummer Night's Dream. Guys are being cast as girls, and apparently this is a big deal because, you know, fragile masculinity. Timothy gets cast as Puck and takes the role a bit too much to heart. One night, while doing some particularly intense reading, Timothy magic eye puzzles the script and finds a recipe for the love potion flower. After he follows the recipe and does a whole song and dance number about it, he succeeds in summoning the flower to this plane. And what does he do with it? Mischief. That's what. His victims include, but are not limited to, his best friend's boyfriend, Jonathan, Jonathan's girlfriend, Jonathan's girlfriend's girlfriend, his mom's boss, the entire rugby team, the PE teacher, and half the county. Aside from turning everybody gay, the flower also molds them into more open-minded human beings. For real, though, everybody in this town is, like, stuck in super bigot mode.
This is the future that liberals want.
Yes, everybody's gay. And the ones who aren't are very not happy about it.
It's that alternative tea turner, Shakespeare.
I know Shakespeare turned me gay, so.
So, yeah, everybody's getting molded into more open-minded human beings, except for Jonathan. Jonathan pretty much stays the same, except now he's, like, really horny for Timothy. Which, I mean, to be honest, is not that big of a change. Even before he got sprayed by the flower, Jonathan was kind of, like, wishy-washy about where he stood with his girlfriend, right? Like, love taps on the butt, like, clandestine glances in the locker room, like, Timothy, Jonathan is into you.
I mean, I thought that's what was happening in the beginning, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Like, I thought they were into each other, and, like, that was what the movie was going to be about. Because yeah. I went into this movie without even reading, like, the Wikipedia summary on it. So, you know, yeah. I went into it completely blind, and that's what I thought was happening until I was like, oh, no, wait.
And Timothy is very much, like, stuck in this mindset where, like, I live in a small town. I must be the only gay person. It's yeah. almost unfathomable that somebody on the rugby team would be gay. What? A jock in love with me? How could they? So yeah. after a town meeting where the show is almost canceled, Miss Tebbit convinces everybody to come to the show anyways so they can be cured by Deus Ex Machina. Just kidding, Miss Tebbit hunts down Timothy while he's busy macking on his boyfriend and sorts him out through song, like a good English teacher. Everybody goes through the show, Timothy does the good boy thing and puts his boyfriend right, and surprise, Jonathan liked Timmy the whole time! Who would have guessed?
Yeah.
I did.
I, yeah.
The gays we, like, literally made, like, manufactured gays.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
It doesn't even seem like Timothy has learned his lesson either. He's like, well, I've destroyed all of my interpersonal relationships. Time to repeat this experiment on a much larger scale.
Yeah. I don't know, like.
Go ahead.
No. I was going to agree with that. Go on.
This is how we get our first gay president, people. Yes. This is the only way we're getting it. Sorry, Pete Buttigieg.
First off, before we really get into discussion on this movie, I have been asked by the rest of our panel to formally announce that Tanner Cohen, the actor who plays Timothy, is officially our favorite twink.
Tanner Cohen has perhaps the second most beautiful voice in the entire world after Michael McMillan, Cohen, the musical of my heart.
Agreed. I'm not sure exactly where his voice stands in my ranking, but a quick look through his Instagram page, like, really, like, solidifies his place as best twink, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're looking for a good Instagram page, go look up Tanner Cohen's.
and Mr. Cohen, if you're listening to this, get with us. We will make you a Best Twink Award plaque and send it to you.
Please. Oh my god.
I will do it. I have some expendable income. I will do it.
Anyway, that's what we think, but if you've seen a better twink, we'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences.
You can find us at Twink Echo.
Twink Echopod on Twitter. While you're there, why not suggest, you know, bears and otters for us to lather with love?
Always looking to experience more gays with you.
Okay, but anyway, let's get down to brass tacks. I will admit that the ending of this movie is kind of disappointing, but everything leading up to the ending is, like, A+.
My god, this movie is being gangbanged with plot threads, though.
It oh, is. There's a lot going on, but also at the same time, nothing at all, because none of it is really interesting.
There is so much drama in this movie for the characters that it's almost a like my biggest criticism for this movie, just to get out of the way, because this is a fantastic movie and I love this movie. Like, it doesn't really follow the Fosse mentality of musicals, which is that, you know, people at heightened levels of emotions, they have no choice but to sing about it. And there's a lot of people struggling with a lot of things in this movie, and we only have like 4 or 5 songs in the entire thing.
Right. We say it's a musical in kind of the loosest sense. The first quote-unquote musical number lasts all of like a minute, and it's just Jonathan sitting on the English teacher's desk with his shirt open going, "Timothy, oh Timothy, Timothy, oh Timothy."
I thought it was Lululu, Lee Lee Lee, La La La.
No, that's the one after "Oh Timothy."
Yeah, that's the second one. So first of all, I found the songs to not be very, like, compelling as far as musical songs go. But at the same time, like, the actual soundtrack kind of slapped. But with that being said, I was very confused by this movie. Because in your traditional musical, usually if they're singing, it's being done within, like, by the cast of the movie in the actual movie, because it's a musical, right?
Right.
It was one or the other in this one. Like, there were just, like, legit, like, soundtrack songs with vocals in them that were not being sung by anybody.
Which I do like. Nothing says this movie is queer by putting in a song by Mika. Tell me I'm wrong.
Sure. No, like, the soundtrack was great. Again, I stand by that. This soundtrack slapped. It's just that in the context of it being a musical, like, I found it very confusing because my brain kept expecting, like, the cast to join in on the singing with whatever was going on at the very least. And like that didn't happen. Like, I would have loved to see like a mirror scene of like Timothy singing along as he's like becoming comfortable with this like Puck character or something.
Most of the singing that's not just pure soundtrack and that's not happening explicitly on stage as part of the show takes place in this kind of dream world area. Like, Jonathan singing to Timothy, Timothy singing the love potion flower into existence, Miss Tebbit, the English teacher, hunting Timothy down and telling him he needs to set the town right after he goes on the ultimate gay spree.
Yeah.
It all has this feel like, is it really happening? Which I think, you know, kind of plays into the Midsummer Night's Dream aspect where, and I mean, the English teacher kind of says it all the time, you know, at the end of this, it will feel as if you're waking from a nightmare or even better, a dream come true. You know what I mean?
I still would have liked it if, like, the fantasy and the reality clashed just a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Like, going back to, like, the heightened emotional thing, if, and let's say hypothetically, I have some experience with Spellbound Slaves. hypothetically.
Yes.
So,
troubling, but I'll allow it.
Consensual. But like if you've just put a magical spell onto someone and the spell is that you are in love with me, I am your entire world, we're the world mine, that is a level of heightened emotion that it would make sense that they would break out into song, and it would cause a little bit more of sort of like a realization in the character of how far it's going. Like how far basically they've come having created like an actual love potion. And it also makes sense because, you know, it's the fantasy element. I think that would have been really fun to have played around with in the movie. And maybe given the third act a bit more playfulness.
I agree. That was the other thing. Like I felt like the musical numbers were not where I expected them to be. Yeah. A lot of the time. Like, yeah, I would have expected a musical number right there.
You know who loved the heck out of the musical numbers?
Me.
Was me in high school. when I first watched this movie, my God, me in high school could not get enough of this movie.
I feel like I would have felt the same way in high school.
The title
me in high school, is just... who is still considering, who still thought that getting a performing arts degree would be a great idea. Like, me in high school.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
Fucking loved this movie. Okay, a little bit of context. This is one of the first queer films that I ever like sat down to watch, like seeked out and sat down to watch myself, and it kind of set in motion a long love affair with queer cinema and like indie film and also musicals.
Yeah. I could see that.
And I mean, for a young person, for a young gay person, there's a lot to love in this movie because it's very eye-catching.
For an old queer, it's also really good.
Yeah, I agree.
Very eye-catching.
I agree. So I know I come off critical of this movie, and like in my notes too, like I feel like there were a lot of things, but at the end of the day, like, I actually really liked this movie, and like some of the songs, with like all that being said about how they were maybe placed in awkward places within the movie, are stuck in my head.
I sing the title track like almost once a week. It's on my spot. It is on my Spotify.
That's amazing.
Just super quickly before we move on, I did want to say about the title track. I wanted to tell you this actually before we started recording. But I was also this week singing along to the title track, especially the end where they sing, "My ear should catch your voice, my eye should catch your eye, my tongue your tongue, were the world mine." And for some reason, I just could not stop saying, "My ear should catch your voice, my tongue should catch your eye."
Tanner
which
Cohen,
caught me off guard the first four or five times.
Tanner Cohen, if you're listening to this and you would like us to lick your eye, you can find Ro at twitch.com/sixpmro.
Twitch.tv. Back to the polish on this movie. I think the reason it comes across as polished as it is the fact that most of the people who worked on this movie were involved in the proof of concept that came before this movie, which is the short film Fairies, which contains quite a bit of the same original music and almost none of the same cast.
Just a little bit of... Sorry, my phone just locked for no discernible
And by
reason.
The way... We forgot to mention, this episode is technically a double feature because we also got our hands on Fairies and watched it as well.
Fairies is pretty hard to find nowadays since most distribution for short films have gone away. It was at one point on the iTunes store for like short films, but they no longer do short films. And because like freaking internet stuff, like... it looks like just no one ever uploaded it to YouTube. I started trying to find the short film after I watched the original film and just read a little bit about it. It's like, oh, I want to see what came before it, just out of morbid curiosity. And I found it, by which I mean a friend of a friend found a copy and basically... showed it to us. Honestly, like, there's, even though it's a short film, it feels, you know, more like a proof of concept because a lot of the ideas are, and a lot of like the music and stuff are just the same except expanded. Like, right. It's the same instrumentation for, like, the title track, but a different singer, that kind of stuff.
Right. Different cast, same premise, although they kind of took it a bit further in the short film, I want to say, because they started with this whole, like, P.E., dodgeball, smear the queer sort of thing, and then they kind of ended it at, I use the flower, turn everybody extremely stereotypically gay, and all my problems are solved.
Yes,
which the film did not do. The film kind of took a different road to the end.
The end of the short film sort of mirrored the intro too, with like the shot of the legs just like dangling over the side of the stage, except right. You know, at the end they're gay legs now. Ooh boy, they're
gay legs. Ooh, you can tell they're gay legs because
they're crossed.
None of them are sitting still.
Hey parents, do your kids fidget a lot? Do their legs move when they're sitting down? Well, that's because they're gay.
Do your kids have ADHD? They're probably gay too.
More like AD gay D.
Ooh, gay DHD.
Gay DHD.
D stands for lesbian.
Yeah, thank you to my friend of a friend who asked not to be named for getting us a copy of the short film. You are amazing.
Having watched both the movie and the short film, we can definitively say you're not missing much. Just watch the movie instead.
Yeah.
You're missing a very annoying best friend. That's about it.
Oh my god. I fast forwarded through all her bits. I'm not even kidding. She was so annoying.
Zelda Williams was definitely a step up.
Oh my god, yeah. Zelda Williams is in this movie.
Williams,
by the way, Robin Williams's daughter. She, for those of you who are living under a rock,
she is a treasure. Okay, she is a treasure. I love her. Also, a little piece of my heart kind of fluttered every time I saw her, because she looks so much like her dad.
Everyone, this is our third Williams. We've hit our jackpot. This is the end of the podcast.
If you had Zelda Williams on your gay bingo card, go ahead and mark it off now.
We had two Robins and one Zelda.
Oh my god, the song that she sings in the beginning about Tanner Cohen getting balls to the face is amazing. And the first time I watched the movie, it stuck in my head for ages. By the way, Zelda Williams, the only character in this movie with the correct take on the situation, which is, this is really fucked.
Yeah.
And not at all good. What are you actually doing?
Zelda Williams, if you're listening to this and you would like the Best Twink Award, weekend.
You can fight Tanner Cohen for it.
Or you can give it to Tanner Cohen. We don't care.
Also, by the way.
We're just very needy.
Zelda Williams also has the most iconic line in the entire film, which is, I'm heteroflexible. I'm straight, but shit happens.
You know, I feel like, honestly, that I remember when I saw that scene the first time, the thought that came into my head was, wow, this movie's ahead of its time. Because right. I don't feel like heteroflexible was in the public consciousness, really, until, like, the mid, like, 2010s. And this movie was made in, like, the 2000s. So...
Right. And I think it's very, like, prominent nowadays, especially. You can go on to, I don't know, the seedier parts of Facebook and find all these based articles about how straight people are having gay sex more often nowadays.
Uh-huh.
It's like, all because Zelda Williams.
That's the thing. All because of Zelda Williams. She made it happen. She's the trendsetter.
She is. She is.
I was very confused about the boyfriend character. Like, I'm still a little confused because it's not really established. Like, I thought they were just, like, another gay friend. Like, a supportive gay best friend that you have no sexual attraction to when I first saw it. And I kind of forgot that he is the boy. He's supposed to be Zelda's boyfriend when I watched it last time.
His only purpose plot-wise in the movie is to fall in love with Timothy and cause drama trademark.
but Zelda doesn't really like have like any I don't know what the character's name is, so I'm just calling it by Zelda Williams because it's Zelda Williams. But Zelda Williams Frankie. Doesn't really have any like, you know, moments where like she establishes that they're, you know, dating. There's like a few lines about how interested he is in her.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's just like it almost seems like kind of like tongue in cheek, like you would do to like your best friend that has no sexual attraction, that you have no sexual attraction to, who happens to be gay. It's like, oh yeah, he's totally interested in you.
Right. He kind of has that relationship with Timothy, like that, oh, I'm straight, but I'm gonna lay a little bit of flirt on you because you're the only gay person in town, and I feel a little bit sorry for you, buddy. Here, you can have a little bit of flirt as a treat. Like, speaking of straight people, the amount of falling for straight people in this movie is kind of amazing. And most of it is manufactured, but some of it is very genuine. And by manufactured, I mean that Timothy is going around spraying people in the face with gay flour, and causing a lot of unrequited love. But I'm speaking, like, very specifically about, like, Timothy's relationship with Jonathan, where, like, and I feel like this is just exponentially relatable to any gay person that ever went to high school, to have that relationship with a straight person where you just kind of watch them from afar and think, you know, if only in some like sort of alternate universe,
you where, watch them, you know, and you fantasize and you think, you know, I could love them. They could be my world. Were the world mine. Okay, fine. I tried.
I just think, you know, it's a very it's a very relatable experience.
It is.
Speaking as somebody who lives in a small town and falls almost exclusively for straight people, I personally found the experience really.
Yeah, I think we've all, you know, thought to ourselves, well, if I thought I was straight, but it turns out I'm gay, then maybe person I am crushing on is also
like Tanner Cohen's the gay. Like actually out here living the straight guy fantasy, which is more than most of us can say, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think that kind of brings us to another really interesting point about this movie. I think this movie tackles the undercover gay trope in a really interesting and different way. There's this, I think, wonderful moment where they have, after Timothy goes around at night and turns half the county gay, you have this moment where this news network is interviewing people, and you have this wonderful little interview with these two ladies saying, well, you know, we've been neighbors for practically ever, and, you know, we just kind of looked at each other, and we kind of knew that, you know, marriage was the right way to go. And I mean, you know, what about family values? I mean, what about them? We have family. We have values. We're the gays. We're just like you. And I think the way they went about delivering that message is kind of very different from other movies with undercover gays that we've reviewed in the past.
I think that was one thing that I really did like, because that moment struck me too, and I thought it was very sweet. But I thought, I felt like,
right,
just that particular segment of the movie was very realistic also, right? Because, so I think for probably like Zoomers and younger, this experience isn't going to be the same, because being gay or being LGBT, being whatever, is a little more accepted in society, right? But
right,
to somebody that's like, you know, going into this in like 2008 or earlier, even,
right,
like that moment is just so true to life. Like, no, I just like had always been fighting this, basically, right? Because like internally, like those people were always fighting these feelings, but like I just met this person and I knew like this was the way to go. You know, it was just this person that I was always right. close to, that was like my neighbor or my friend or whatever, my roommate. You know,
right?
I also feel like it's just a really good message, especially yeah. since this is obviously targeted towards like a more teenage audience, with sort of like a subject matter, its setting, and everything like that. So I think having a positive message like that in this movie was really important,
right? Especially at this time. Like, I want to remind people, this movie was made and released in 2008, and marriage equality wasn't passed through the Supreme Court until 2015. So at the time this movie came out, this was a very big deal.
God, that was only 6 years ago.
Like, it feels like forever ago. But, like, marriage equality only came 6 years
ago. I don't understand.
Like, The AIDS crisis was only in the 80s, and that feels like a long time ago. In the grand scheme of things, gay history is extremely modern, especially the fight for
marriage. I mean, Stonewall.
And this really kind of
Stonewall
puts
was
it
only
into
like
perspective.
What 50 years ago, not even like
marriage equality is only slightly older than the Confederacy.
Yeah. Slightly, just a little bit.
A little bit.
So
we should be
so
able
crazy.
To fly our gay flags.
You know, I think if there's one thing that a lot of the movies we've watched thus far have made me, like, I don't know if realize is the right word, because I feel like that's always been there, like, just right below the surface, but, like, that it's really brought to light is just, like, how recent, like, the equality that we have now is compared to, like, before. Because this movie wasn't that long ago.
And the way we talk about it nowadays, it feels like we should have had it forever. Or, like, that we've had it for, like, this long time, that gays have always been able to do this and that. And the truth is, we haven't.
It's been like 6 years.
Our biggest strides have happened incredibly recently. Yeah. Like, the little details that make this movie extremely relatable, like bits and pieces that just give you glimpses into Timothy's life as like the single homosexual in a small town, and like his inability to like reach through to people to get them to understand.
Yeah, and I think I think one of like the most striking things about this movie is the character development of the mom in that sense, right? Because she goes from like
absolutely.
Really not being accepting of it, right? To before like the potion is even put out there, like she has that moment with the church lady she's trying to sell something to, and she like has this moment where she's like, yeah, my son's queer, like whatever, I don't want to do business with you either, like anyways, bigot, like, you know.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, it seems like Timothy's mom is the only person whose life is affected more by Timothy's weirdness.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I feel like that moment was very realistic, and it actually kind of, like, it was very striking to me, because I think in a lot of, like, the movies that we've at least seen thus far, like, the parents are either completely, like, hateful and, like, non-accepting, or they're on the other end of the spectrum where they're just, like, instantly, like, oh, we accept you no matter what, right? But I think this is, like, so much more realistic, because the mother is, like, talking about struggling with it, you know? And I think ideally, like, obviously, we would all want parents to just, like, automatically be accepting. But the reality is that there is a lot of cultural conditioning that goes into this kind of shit, right? So, like...
Right. It's really easy for a storyline like that, especially, like, the moms, to fall into what about me-ism. Like, how... Remember, in Talking with Scissors, we were talking about how Augustine's mom kind of co-opts other people's traumas and basically tries to make it all about her.
I'm just gonna just like to I feel like I just feel like we need to talk more about Tanner Cohen, because I don't think we've really expanded on the ethos, the myth, the man, the Tanner that is Tanner Cohen.
Go ahead, lay us down some Tanner Cohen facts and fictions, please.
So Tanner Cohen was born on Mars, wherein he conquered the planet. I just want to say that it's a crime that Tanner Cohen honestly didn't have a longer career on the screen, and part of the reason the world is shit right now is because he no longer sings to us, and it's all your fault, America. I hope you're happy.
Fuck the America. No, don't. Sorry.
Hashtag cast
fuck
Tanner
the US,
Cohen in
not
more
fuck
musicals.
The Americas. I am from the South Americas, and that is a great place.
Yeah, fuck the one America.
We're gonna get to Getting Go in the future, which also stars Tanner Cohen, and it's a legit one of my favorite movies I've ever seen, and that's like his last major film role, I think. I'm glad he's still producing and stuff and has an Instagram account, so it's not like he didn't disappear into the ether like some actors that we've talked about and we'll talk about, but like, you know, I just want Tanner to sing for me in the way that I mean, like, everyone, just one more time before I, specifically me, die.
You know what, Nato, whenever you feel like you're gonna die, you just let me know. I will make it my personal mission in life to get Tanner Cohen to come in real life and sing to you. It'll be like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but for, you know, gay people instead of kids.
Oh my god, I wonder if this is... Okay, because, like, I got an astronaut when I did Make-A-Wish, but, like, I wish for not to have cancer. So I want to go back in time,
say,
even though it was, like, in the 90s, before, like, Tanner Cohen was even in this movie. I want to up my cancer to the 2000s, and then I want my Make-A-Wish to be Tanner Cohen.
I support this.
I think that's the only way to make this work, is to change cancer from childhood to teenage.
You know what?
Tanner Cohen, if you're listening please contact us. And
when
help
I
us
make
save a
Jeff
lonely
Bezos
day.
Money, instead of investing in space travel, I am going to invest into time travel specifically for that Make-A-Wish.
I might be dying of cancer, but at least I can hear Tanner Cohen sing for me one more time. Is it?
Think about how his tongue is going to catch your eye.
Is there like a Make-A-Wish for like... yes.
Sad gay
there
adults?
There should be.
There should be. We suffer
if anybody
too, you know?
Wants to be a sugar daddy or mama, I am open. But all money will be donated to the Make Tanner Cohen Sing to a Sad Gay Person Foundation, specifically for NATO. At me, please. Thank you. At the Nefarious Navigator on Instagram.
We've now got Tanner Cohen. We've now got Tanner Cohen as our fascination. We also have Michael McMillan, colon, the cure for my cancer. So we're just racking up the actors, right, and actresses that, you know, we really, or we also have, what was her, I can't say her name, Amelia?
Oh, wait, who's in Eight Women? I don't
Isabella,
remember the actresses.
Is it like Isabelle Huppert or something?
Oh, Isabelle Huppert. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were saying it right.
I did it!
Look, this beer is an 8.5% alcohol by volume, okay? So,
look at how...
For those of you just tuning in, NATO just correctly pronounced something in French, which is like a one.
Sorry, this is a Shakespeare movie. I am shooketh.
Shooketh. The one last thing I want to talk about before we move on from this movie is just how beautifully it was shot. Like, yeah, so many colors, exotic costumes, great makeup, whatever the fuck was going on with the English teacher, like, just top-notch
stuff. Was like a drunken Miss Frizzle, and I loved it. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know why, but I absolutely love the tree from the stage that they use. It is so wistful, it is so flowy, and it's just so beautiful to look at. It looks like it's so fun. Yeah,
also,
the costumes
in the stage production were also wild. And like the staging is so dynamic.
I love the wedding dress wings. That was a genius like addition.
The wedding dress wings, I love the scene where the mom is making them, and she's like, well, you know, I'm a single mom. The wedding dress gives me memories of my former husband. Might as well tear it to shreds.
Although, you know, devil's advocate, since, you know, Tanner Cohen is gay, she could have given the wedding dress to her son to wear in his wedding. Just, you know.
I mean, I'm not arguing the point that Tanner Cohen could pull off a wedding dress, because I'm sure he could.
Most definitely. that is one thing that I like, because it gives comparing the wings from the movie versus fairies for a second, like, making it out of the wedding dress gives it so much more meaning to the mother, and so much more emotion,
right,
and connection that she's making that for her son. Because in fairies, it's just like the annoying friend is making the wings. Right. That's it.
Right. And I think, you know, just lace and pearls add so much to a costume, especially like wedding lace, you know, it's so intricate, you know, and using something like that to make a pair of wings is a big statement piece. Yeah, and I'm saying, you know, it's such a precious fabric, wedding lace, you know, and to use that to make wings for a fairy for your son's high school play, I think it speaks volumes about the relationship that
she
has with her son.
Tradition and fuck cultural norms and fuck like heterosexual like marriages. I'm gonna accept my son for who he is, and if my son wants to be a quote-unquote fairy instead of like in a traditional like heterosexual relationship one day, then I'm gonna shred that kind of like cultural conditioning and like just accept him for who he is.
I really do like the mom as a character.
Yeah,
I think she's definitely got like the strongest arc in this movie too.
I agree.
Right. Yeah.
Because that is one thing. I feel like I said, I only have one major complaint, and now I've just been complaining the entire episode. Tanner Cohen, who is perfect and sexy and can sing the cancer out of me, should I get it again. I feel like the character of Timothy doesn't really have an arc.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
I mean, he doesn't really. He has to be persuaded in the end to set everything right. And even then, it's kind of reluctantly.
Yeah, I really liked this movie, right? But I think I liked this movie a lot, but I wanted it to see a lot of this movie go further, right? So one thing.
Right.
That this brought to mind, or that came to mind. So this movie is only an hour and a half, right? In the Heights came out recently. And one of my friends went to go, well, a couple of my friends went to go see it. And one of my friends commented, like, this movie was just too long. Like, why was it almost 3 hours? My reply was, like, musicals are usually, like, 3 hours long. Like, have you seen a movie musical before? They're always 3 hours long.
Right.
I feel like this movie, like, it wanted to be like this musical, right? And it had all these threads that you do usually have going on in a musical, because musicals are usually like plays and they're usually like fucking hours long. So this movie should have taken all those threads and really like pushed them further and just like fucking laid into it leaned into it and become like a 3 hour long musical. I would have watched the fuck out of a 3 hour long musical of this, because I wanted to see a lot of it go further. I wanted to see.
Oh yeah. This movie. Is
right. Exactly. And especially amazing. Like when you have this like kind of mystical, like Midsummer Night's Dream angle, you could have had parts of this movie with like the homophobia that could have been really nightmarish. And then like,
And really just go.
Where is the version of this sequences where the gym teacher sings love to the principal?
Right. I think what we're saying is this movie needs a Snyder Cut.
Absolutely.
I want to wear the world mine again.
Yes. So, in summary, not much happens in this movie, but everything and everyone looks really great while it's happening. And that brings us to our recommendations. What do you think, Amelia? Did this movie have you saying, I pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again? Or did it have you saying, I see their knavery. This is to make an ass of me.
Honestly, to be or not to be, that is the question. To watch or not to watch, that is the question. I know it is.
That's
I know
Hamlet.
It is. I don't want to be. Sorry, I don't want to be true about this. But but as light through yonder window breaks, I would say that no, this movie does make me see. Oh, I can't remember the fucking quote. God damn it! I didn't write it down. I would recommend this movie. I would.
No ifs, ands, or puns about it.
I had a fucking line from a sonnet, but I didn't think to write it down, so now I can't remember it. But yeah, I would definitely not bite my thumb at this movie, but in fact give it 2 thumbs up.
Beautiful. How about you, Nato? Was this movie a timeless love story like Pyramus and Thisbe? Or was it doomed to fall dead like Pyramus and Thisbe?
So, I have to be honest with y'all. I was never a Shakespeare kid growing up. I was more of a Kafka kid. So, you know, my dream. My dream is for a gay musical based on Metamorphosis. But you know what? This is one hell of a good time. I absolutely love this movie. It's 2 thumbs way up and not even up my ass. That's where my head is.
Can
Now, it's unusual for the host of the episode to make a recommendation, but after we finish recording, I'm probably going to go back and watch this movie again, just because it's been so long since I'd seen it. I also, by way of a recommendation, just want to leave our audience with two words. Rugby.
Yes! I forgot about that scene.
I thought you were going to say Tanner Cohen.
Anyway, that's what we think. But if you've seen this movie or end up watching it later, we'd love to hear your thoughts and your experiences with it. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at GayEcapod. That's GayEcapod. While you're there, why not suggest a movie for us to watch in the future? We're always looking for new suggestions, and we can't wait to experience more movies with you. Until next time, I'm Ro, here to remind you that yes, all boys' schools do turn your children gay. That's science, baby. You can't argue with science.
Tanner Cohen can just turn me gay any day.